You know, our faith is very, very old, and God's interaction with His children goes back all the way back to the beginning, to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And there are certain things that I notice that the way God operates, and He makes promises to us. And we believe those promises. But then, sometimes those promises take a while to be fulfilled. Not only days and weeks and years, but generations. We know that Abraham was promised that his seed would make an entire nation. And it took years for that to happen. We know that He has promised through the prophets the coming of the Messiah. And so many years passed away, and all of Israel and all of the people were waiting in anticipation for the Messiah. And then we are told that when Christ rose into the heavens, that He promised the disciples to stay in Jerusalem until I send you the Comforter. So we see that there's a period of anticipation, the period between Christ's death and the period between His resurrection is a period of anticipation. On the feast day of Pascha, we say that we are waiting in darkness to receive the light. So then we are in anticipation. So we are anticipating, continually anticipating. And there's an excitement about anticipation. You know the excitement the children have on Christmas because they are anticipating the next morning. On Christmas Eve, they're anticipating the next morning to get up and to find presents under the tree. So there's a great anticipation. But what happens if you wake up on Christmas Day and it's not Christmas Day and the presents aren't there? And then you wake up the next morning and the gifts aren't there again. And the next morning and the next morning and the next morning. There's a tendency to become discouraged. There's a tendency to try to focus your faith away from that anticipated goal. And we see this is what has happened. And this is what happens to humanity. It says God says that He will take care of us. And then when we don't see God the way we think we should see God, sometimes we become discouraged. And sometimes we say, well, I believe in God, but He's really not doing what He said He was going to do. So we start thinking about other things. Now, at the time of Christ and before Him, there had been so many years that the Jews were waiting for the Messiah. So many years had passed that they still said, we're still waiting for the Messiah, but really the faith now had changed. I mean, the whole faith was based on waiting for the Messiah. But now, because the Messiah didn't come, it was about rules. It was about regulations. It was about laws. It lost the whole concept of waiting for the Messiah. So we're trying to create a faith there where we think that God has let us down. We think that if He has not done in the time period which we think He should do it, that we need to fix it or we need to do something different. In the first century, we read Scripture, and there is this anticipation there that He is coming immediately, that He will return immediately. And this anticipation, says, was very strong. And in the early years of the church, we have this strong anticipation of the second coming of Christ. But sometimes, and it seems like maybe we have gotten there today, is that this anticipation, generation and generation and generation, and Christ hasn't come yet. So that we have this tendency to start changing our faith and start changing what our faith is about. Now, Christ started the church on the Pentecost, on the Sunday that's coming up, this next Sunday. That's where the Holy Spirit descended upon the entire church. And they went out into the world to preach the gospel. And it was in anticipation of his second coming. He said, go out into the world and make disciples. Bring me my children. Bring me my sheep. And in anticipation, we went out and we did that. But now, after so many years, it seems like, well, the mission is not so important anymore. Because Jesus might not come again for another 1,000 years or 10,000 years. So we think that we have to change the mission or we become relaxed in the mission of the church. But we can't allow that to happen. Because when our Lord comes, he's going to come like a thief in the night. Because we're not going to know it. It's going to happen and then we're going to realize it. It's not going to be something that we will have a warning. You know, there was a bumper sticker I saw that said, Jesus is coming, look busy. We can't do that. We can't depend on figuring it out at the last minute and then all of a sudden trying to fix it. No, we have to continue on. We have to continue on with this anticipation. Not in anticipation of disillusionment or disappointment because our Lord has not come yet. But in anticipation like a child on Christmas Eve that he is coming. And we have to have the faith that he is coming. And we have to have the belief that he's coming. And he will come. And we don't know when he's going to come. But he will come. And we have to be doing what he has commissioned us to do when he does come. You know, a lot of different church communities, Orthodox and Catholic and Protestant, have, you walk into them and you don't even realize that they are the church that has been commissioned by Christ. If you look at their ministries or lack of ministries, you say, if you think, says, this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. It's all nice, but that's not what we've been instructed to do. And this is where in our humanity we have forgotten. And sometimes we can lose our way. But we have to keep focused. We have to keep focused that Christ is coming. Every day we should wake up and say, is this the day? Every day we should wake up and be ready. Every day we should get up and say, this is what I need to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And God will provide the means. As a community, we get together not only to socialize, not only to worship, not only to go to coffee hour. My friends, we come to get nourishment, the nourishment, the Holy Spirit, to help us in our task. We have a task, we have a job to do. That is to figure out the best way to get the good news out to the most people that we possibly can. We have to figure out the way. Now, it used to be in the first century, the disciples, they just walked into a town, walked into a synagogue and started teaching. Well, it's not that simple anymore. There's way more many more people, and we have all sorts of competition that Satan is setting up. So we have to be very vigilant. We have to be very faithful. But the one thing we always have to remember is that he is coming. And when he comes, he will separate the sheep from the goats. When he comes, he will say, "Well done, servant." He says, "You have done good with little, I will give you more." And then he doesn't say, "You wicked servant, you buried what I gave you. Why didn't you take it and invest it so that it would grow?" And even some, he's going to say that what I gave you, not only did you not bury it to give it back to me, but you squandered it. And now you don't have nothing to give me. So always wake up in the morning and think, this might be the day of our Lord's return. And this might be the day that I die. Am I ready? Have I done what I have been instructed to do? I have been given a great gift, but have I done my part? Every day, this should be at the forefront of our thoughts and of our minds. They say that the priest should, every liturgy he should perform as if it's his first, and as if it's his last. And we should see every day of our lives the same way. It says that it is our first day in opportunity to do what is right, and it may be our last day, so that we have to do that today in order to be prepared. And it might be the day that our Lord will return. I pray that we are all ready. And I pray that our Lord returns on Easter Sunday so that we'll have a good crowd in church. But the summertime is upon us, and Memorial Day is with us. And it's time for relaxation. And God told us that we should always take a day out of the week to rest, that we should always take sabbatical after 7 years and allow fields to go fallow for a while after 7 years so that they will produce more richly again in the next year. And the summer times, we also have to remember to take some time off for ourselves and for our families. Not because we're selfish, but because we want to refresh ourselves so that we can come back and re-enter into the struggle of our Lord, re-enter into what his ministry is on this earth. So I hope and I pray that during the summer season, you will all take time for yourselves and for your family to refresh and to be able to come back fully refreshed and ready to work towards his ministry.